Ladies and gentlemen, the Lucky Strike Hour, presented for your pleasure by the manufacturers of Lucky Strike cigarettes. 60 modern minutes with the world's finest dance orchestras and the famous Lucky Strike thrills. We bring you tonight a thrilling dramatization of an actual case from the files of the United States Bureau of Investigation, Department of Justice at Washington, D.C. This case is called the Barton Brothers and concerns the most vicious type of criminal, the ruthless killer. But before the curtain rises in the Magic Carpet Theater, we'll take a quick trip to the dance floor. Anson Weeks and his orchestra from the Seaglade of the Hotel St. Regis have a plentiful supply of melody, so let's call for it. On with the dancing, Anson! Okay, America!
Good evening, everyone. This is Anson Weeks greeting you with There's a New Day Coming. We play a medley of current favorites, Try a Little Tenderness, If You Don't Want to Be Sweethearts, and Echo in the Valley.
Thank you.
magic carpet speeds back to the pilot. Okay, New York.
Ah, that's it. That's fine, Anson. I can just see the millions dancing to those tunes. And say, did you see that news story telling of new, closely guarded experiments in television and predicting an amazing development in 1933? You know, I wish those secret experiments were successful right now. I could show you, right before your eyes, an important fact about the cigarettes you smoke. I would open up a Lucky Strike cigarette, and I'd point out to you that even when that cigarette is open, the tobaccos retain their firm, cylindrical shape. Try it yourself. Seeing is believing. You'll notice that every Lucky Strike is well-packed, full weight, and that it contains long, uniform strands of tobacco, no coarse, bulky pieces, no large, hard stems. The tobacco in your Lucky Strike is the finest in the world, bought without regard for expense, aged and blended with the utmost care, made extra flavorful and mellow mild by the famous toasting process. But seeing is believing, and you'll see the proof of all those facts right before your eyes when you light a Lucky. For Lucky Strike burns with a firm, solid ash that resists flaking and dropping on your clothes. A white ash, my friends, that is the unmistakable sign of the finest tobacco quality. With any cigarette, the proof is in the smoking. When you smoke a Lucky, you'll find in its firm white ash, in its smooth, mellow mildness, the proof of the utmost cigarette quality. Now yours at the utmost in cigarette value for Lucky Strike is now 2 packages for $0.25. Now we're in the Magic Carpet Theater. The footlights brighten the edge of the curtain and a hush falls over the great audience. The dramatization which we are about to bring you is called The Barton Brothers, a real case taken from the files of the United States Bureau of Investigation, Department of Justice at Washington, D.C. Even now, Special Agent 5 is receiving instructions as they flash through the air from headquarters. Go on with the show!
Courtesy of J. Edgar Hoover, Director of the United States Bureau of Investigation, you are permitted to relate authenticated story, The Barton Brothers, based on case number 265190, filed of the United States Bureau of Investigation, Department of Justice, Washington, D.C. Special Agent 5, proceed.
Special Agent 5 talking. The story of the Barton Brothers. Real people, real places, real clues, a real case. For obvious reasons, fictitious names are used throughout. Our case begins near the town of Sanderson, Texas.
All right, boys, just get in the car and don't make trouble.
Okay, okay, Sheriff, don't hurry me. We got lots of time.
Yes, indeedy. We got lots of time to take you fellas where you're going.
Yeah? Where's that?
You know good and well, Kid Barton. Oklahoma State Penitentiary for stealing this car out of Muskogee.
And we're taking you and the car back together. Pretty cute of us, don't you figure?
Sit tight, Floyd. We'll show them who's cute.
What did you say?
Nothing. Nothing.
Well, then get in the back seat. Hayes, you and Floyd get in front. I'll sit beside you, kid.
Well, you'll have to if you don't want one of our arms tore off. Say, do you have to keep this shackle on my wrist, Sheriff?
Yes, I have to. Sit down. All set up in front, Hayes?
All set. I got Floyd right here where I reckon he can't do no harm.
Let's get started, then. The famous Barton Brothers on a one-way trip to Muskogee. What's the matter, kid? Can't you sit still? No use in fidgeting around. Got a long way to go yet.
I wish you'd take the iron off my wrist, Sheriff.
Not a chance, kid. Forget it.
Well, you ain't got any on my other hand.
I don't need it. I just want to be sure that you don't take wings and fly, that's all.
Yeah? Well, that's where you made a big mistake,
brother. Here, what are you doing?
Throwing your gun out of the holster with my left hand.
Hayes! Hayes, look out!
I got him in the back, Floyd. Grab hold of the wheel, quick!
Okay. You think you're going to get away with this?
Shut up, Sheriff, if you don't want to get plugged, too. Nice, lonely stretch of road here. Is Hayes dead?
Yeah, sure. Kid Barton, that was cold-blooded murder. If you think you're going to get away with it, you'll have to murder me, too.
Shut up, Sims. I told you once. You got Hayes' keys, Floyd?
Yeah, I got them.
Turn yourself loose.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Get me out of this handcuff.
All right. Wait a minute. Hold still, will you? All right. There you go, kid. You pair.
Never mind about that, Sims. We know what we are. Get out of this machine.
What are you going to do? Shoot me in the back, too?
We'll see. Get out of that car.
Yeah, come on off the road, too, Sheriff.
Now, here's what we do, Floyd. You chain him to this tree with his own handcuffs. I'll drag the dead one out of the car and keep him company.
All right, put your arms on this tree behind you, Sheriff. Come on, come on.
You want to leave me here to starve, eh?
Well, we're broad-minded, Sims. We don't care what happens to you.
You don't need to tell me that. But I'll tell you something. You'll never get away with this. You're on top now, but somewhere, someday...
Yeah, someday what?
The law will catch up to you.
don't talk to him, kid. Throw the dead one down and let's hike. We got business up the road.
Yeah, business. But we won't hike. We're going to ride from now on, Floyd. Ride like the millionaires do. Come on, get in the car.
Police Department. Is the chief speaking?
Yes.
Well, good morning, sir. Yes, I heard all about it the first thing I came in. It makes the fourth robbery in 3 weeks. Well, you bet I'm going to do something just as soon as I get a lead to go on. All right, sir. I'll let you know when I do. Goodbye. By Jiminy, that makes me mad.
Who was it, chief?
The mayor. You'd think I arranged them burglaries.
Well, folks are sort of getting on their ear about them.
Well, that's what makes me sure it's out-of-town crooks doing the mischief, Sam. You know, in a city the size of Livingston, with everyone on the watch, but we'd have heard of any suspicious stranger. You know, my guess is it's professional thieves.
That's so?
Yes, sir, and they're traveling in a fast car that gets them out of range of the law.
Now, what you going to do about it, Sheriff?
Well, I got Charlie Hacksaw coming in. He's just a kid, but he's smart.
Want me to go at the door?
No, I reckon that's Charlie now. Come in.
Morning, Chief.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Charlie. Where's your uniform?
Chief told me to leave it at home. What's up, Chief?
Oh, same thing. Same thing. Another burglary last night, Charlie. Listen, I'm putting you on plainclothes detail.
Well, fine. What do I do?
Well, just snoop around for the time being. Cover all those auto camps in the jungles where the hobos hang out in the daytime.
Yeah.
Then go down to the freight yard at night and keep your eyes open.
You think they'll try another boxcar robbery, Chief?
Oh, they might. Anyway, the freight yard, the place where they've been a couple of times before, so we want to watch it. You understand that, Charlie?
Oh, sure, Chief. If they're still around, I'll get a line on them.
That's the boy. You come in here each morning and give me a report.
All right.
Livingston, Montana ain't a very big city, but we got horse sense. And I'll be switched if we're going to have crimes without trying to find out who done them.
Oh, sir.
All right, son. Beat it now. Good luck to you.
Hello, Chief. He didn't report this morning.
I know you don't know. Doggone, now we got to tramp through these freight yards all night looking for him.
I wonder if Charlie could have hung up with any trouble.
Trouble? What do you think we got? Two more boxcar robberies last night.
Yeah, I know that.
What's that?
Reckon that's the northbound midnight mail. She's been out about 4 minutes. Time to blow for Crawford's Mill.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you think we'd better look through this cut of boxcars?
I suppose so.
This door's open. I'll flash my torch inside. See anything?
No. Here, try this one.
Okay. Say.
What's the trouble?
Who's that in there?
Where?
In the car, that man.
Where?
Oh, I see now. It's only a tramp, sweep.
Tramp?
Yeah, should I sock him and wake him up?
No, let's move along.
Try this next car, huh?
All right, take a look.
Hey, what ails you, Chief?
Nothing.
Well, then what...
Say, Sam, come back here.
Where to?
That other boxcar.
What for?
A tramp asleep. He's not a tramp, and he's not asleep.
Charlie?
There was something familiar about the sleeve of his coat.
Here's the torch. Flash the light on him.
Yeah, flash the light on him. It's Charlie, all right. Good Lord, Sam, look what they've done to him.
Hey, listen, kid. What do you have to have this dame with us for? Why do you always drag her along? It's begging for trouble.
Ah, forget it, Floyd. So far, it's cops that's had the trouble, not us.
Yeah, well, you ought to let Louise back in Livingston, I'm telling you.
I don't see why we had to leave Livingston. The ladies at the order camp were real nice.
Oh, real nice, huh? Well, it's too bad the cop in the freight yard wasn't the same way. Real nice. We ought to left you back there.
Oh, is that so, you cheap gorilla?
Never mind Floyd, Louise. I won't ditch you.
Of course you won't, honey boy.
Oh, say, listen, kid. This dame is just one more way the police have a track in us. Suppose they get to looking for two men and a woman. That's easier to find than just two men.
Well, that's just one of the breaks, Floyd. You can't get them all. It's like how was we to know a kid had come along and turned loose that Muskogee sheriff we left handcuffed to the tree? We could have shot him.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. We ought to play safe.
Oh,
and
cut the beefing. Louise stays.
Is that right? Well, now you just got a little...
Oh,
bit.
Wait a minute. There's a general store by the road. I reckon I'll pull up for a second.
What do you want in the store?
Matches. I want to smoke. Hey, Louise.
Yeah?
Run in and get me some matches, will you?
All right, kid. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You see, Floyd, I get service. You don't.
Good day. What can I do for you?
All I want is a box of matches, mister.
The back of counter's yonder, miss. Matches are there. Step over, will you?
Oh, what do you got over here? Post office, too, huh?
Yes, madam. I be the postmaster.
Say, those posters there on the bulletin board, are they, I mean...
Trouble, recognize any of them fugitives from the law?
Look, what's this one? Oh. This one right here.
Let me get close enough to see which one you mean. Well, young woman, that there's the regular government handbill posted against these Barton brothers from Muskogee, Oklahoma.
But what can the government know about them?
Violation of the Motor Vehicle Theft Act. That makes them fugitives from Uncle Sam, no matter what else they've done. And I understand these fellas done plenty.
Just a minute, kid.
A second, Louise. I'm coming in.
Oh, get out. Listen.
Hush your face before I smack it for you. Hey there, old-timer.
Yeah?
Fetch me a pack of razor blades.
All right.
Hey, kid.
Yeah?
Kid, look up there. I gotta get out.
Oh,
do this.
What's he? Hey, what? Why, it's that handbill.
Yeah.
You been talking about it?
Gee, I had to know what it
was. Oh, where's your brains, you birdhead? Hey, never mind the razor blades. I've decided I don't need a shave.
Don't need the shave, young fella?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'll have to take your word for it. I'm so dumb nearsighted, your face ain't anything but a blur across that counter to me.
Oh.
Yes, sir, my father was the same way.
Oh, then he can't have recognized you.
Shut up, run for the car.
All right, come on, quick.
Hey, don't you want some matches?
Hey, Floyd.
Well, hey, what's eating you two?
Listen, Floyd, we're federal fugitives now.
Huh?
They got the handbills out for car stealing. That means there's federal agents looking for us in all 48 states.
Well, what'll we do?
Just what we've been doing. They can't get us if we shoot first. They all fold up when the old equalizer hits them. Get in the car, Louise.
Yeah.
We'll get away from this store fast. We did too much talking inside.
Here I am, kid.
All right, Floyd, step on the button. We'll get out of this state and pick up a different car to go on with. And God help the first guy that tries to slow us up.
Our federal agents, all crime career of reckless young outlaws. Follow Lucky Strike Hour for finish with tragedy and thrill.
The federal agents are spreading the net for the Barton brothers. Will they succeed in stopping the wild dash of these two gunmen? In a few minutes, we'll present the second and final act of this drama, but now you have time for a few dances. So let's join Anson Weeks and his boys. On with the dance. Okay, America.
We play this time Night and Day from Gay Divorce.
Thank you.
Offering, Look Who's Here. Goes the magic carpet. Okay, New York. A pioneering son carries on the pioneering spirit of his illustrious father. Kermit Roosevelt, president of the Roosevelt Steamship Company, vice president of the International Mercantile Marine Company, and an official of the United States Lines, continues in the spirit of his father, Theodore Roosevelt, to send the American flag on great liners to every corner of the globe. It was under Kermit Roosevelt's regime that the great new SS Manhattan, the largest ship ever built in America, was successfully launched, and her sister ship, the SS Washington, is now being completed. Because he is a real pioneer, because he has carried on the finest traditions of American business, we have just sent Mr. Kermit Roosevelt this telegram. Mr. Kermit Roosevelt, President Roosevelt Steamship Company, No. 1 Broadway, New York City. Sir, we salute you as a fellow pioneer. Just as you have developed a great steamship business for the American flag, so we have pioneered the cigar industry by offering a really fine cigar at little cost. Certified Cremo at 5 cents straight, 3 for 10 cents. Certified Cremo pioneered in modern methods of manufacture. The first and only one to bring smokers the cleanliness of cigar finished under glass. Not only you, but all captains of your ships, every passenger and member of your crews can now enjoy the utmost cigar pleasure at lowest cost. Best wishes for success of your great new steamship, the SS Washington. With kindest personal regards, signed Vincent Riggio, Vice President in Charge of Sales, the American Tobacco Company. Ladies and gentlemen, this telegram is even now on its way to Kermit Roosevelt, President of the Roosevelt Steamship Company. It contains news of an important advance in the cigar industry. Certified Cremo, that fine long filler cigar, is now 5 cents straight, 3 for 10 cents. Mm-hmm.
There's lots of music and excitement ahead. You'll have the thrills in just a moment, but Anson Weeks and his Hotel St. Regis Orchestra have the music right now. So on with it, Anson Weeks. Okay, America!
The dancing continues with a song that's titled 42nd Street and a medley of old favorites, I'll See You in My Dreams, But Not For Me, from Girl Crazy, and When My Baby Smiles at Me. Back to the man at the controls, dashes the magic carpet. Okay, New York.
Again, we sit before the great stage in the Magic Carpet Theater, a stage that stretches across the whole country, and the scene is set for the last act of the Barton Brothers, a real case from the files of the United States Bureau of Investigation. Kid and Floyd Barton, caught with an automobile they had stolen, were being brought back from Texas by the sheriff of Muskogee, Oklahoma, and his deputy. They overpowered the two officers, killed the deputy, and left the sheriff chained to a tree. Since that time, their ready guns have brought swift tragedy to anyone who opposed them. In Livingston, Montana, a police officer was killed, and they left town with a girl named Louise who had joined them there. The Barton brothers discover that they are wanted by the federal agents and decided to steal another car and keep traveling. It's dangerous business to stop these killers, but now the federal agents are on their trail, so let's watch them work. Special Agent 5 is waiting for orders from headquarters, so on with the show.
Special Agent 5, story of the Barton Brothers, based on case number 265190, filed with the United States Bureau of Investigation, Department of Justice, Washington, D.C. Proceed with case in the city of Spokane, Washington.
Okay, nobody around. Open up the garage door, Floyd.
Yeah. Get out of the way, Louise. Give me a room.
I'll quit your forcing around. I am out of the way.
All right, then. Look out.
Not so loud, Floyd. You want the owner down on us?
Well, what's the matter with you? I thought you were the equalizing kid. Do you want this garage open or don't you? There. Now I can see.
What sort of a car is it?
Nash Touring.
Oh.
Pretty red. But if anybody don't like it, we'll spray him with the equalizer.
Well, kid, you and me head south in this little bus, huh?
Well, how about me?
Now, Louise, this time you lose.
Meaning what?
Meaning that I finally got the kid around to my way of thinking.
Is that right, kid?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. That's the way you want it, kid. It's okay.
Oh, listen, Louise, it won't work. We can't go on like this. It'll just put the whole crowd of us in the who's gal. Floyd and me, they can't catch because we move and shoot too quick. With a dame along, it's different.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing you once in a while. Look, here's some dough. And I'll send you more when that gets used up. Say, where'll you be at anyhow? I almost forgot to ask you that.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll try the mountains for a while. Denver. Yeah, Denver, Colorado. Anyway, it's okay.
All right, Louise. And when you get there, you'll find old General Delivery shaking hands with you.
All right, anything.
Ah, snap out of it. Go on down and catch us up a train and have a swell time in Denver. But first give Floyd and me a chance to run this car down the block and make our getaway.
Who's the guy with you?
My associate, Agent Walters.
How do you do, Miss Prentice?
Come on in. Take the wait, don't you see?
We won't waste your time, Miss Prentice, and I hope we won't be forced to inconvenience you.
How do you mean, inconvenience? Throwing the stuff?
Oh, now, that's an ugly expression, Miss Prentice. I'm sure it wasn't necessary to use it.
Smart guy, eh? Well, spill it. What am I supposed to be guilty of?
Nothing. But there's a man named Kid Barton and his brother Floyd. They're guilty of plenty.
Come again, mister.
Oh, don't stall. We're not wasting your time. Why should you waste ours?
We want to spare your feelings, Louise, but we've got to get information. Do you understand that?
Suppose I said I knew Kid Bob once.
What we want to find out is, where is he?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Come on, Louise. Why, only 2 months ago in Spokane, you were traveling together. He didn't give you the air, did he?
For once you're right, smart guy. That's just what he did do.
And since then, no letters have come from him? No money?
Sure, he hasn't forgotten me. But I don't see how you government cops trace me here to Denver.
Our job is to get information, not pass it out, Louise. But it wasn't long after you and the kid parted company before we'd heard of it. And we figured that he'd have you hidden out somewhere in some medium-sized city, in a second-rate hotel on a quiet street like this one.
So here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, you found me, not the kid, and I ain't done anything.
Yeah, but you've heard plenty.
What about?
The killing of that sheriff down in Texas.
And the policeman in the freight yard at Livingston, Montana.
What about the robberies in Spokane?
Oh, you've got me wrong. If the boy spilled anything, I didn't hear it.
Where are they now?
Well, how should I know?
It's all right, Chief. We can go now.
Get it?
Yes. Phoenix, Arizona. Right, Miss Bender? Oh, you needn't grab for your letter. I managed to read the date and postmark already. Why do you leave things like that lying around when you know investigators are apt to call on you?
You get out of here, you little rat. Oh,
please, now. Have we been unpleasant to you?
Waters. That letter from Phoenix can mean a lot in this case. We work fast. We'll notify the police department there and take steps to prevent this girl from communicating with the boss.
Yes, sir.
And one thing more. When the next train leaves here for Arizona, you and I want to make a point of being on board.
Attention of all police officers on Phoenix Force is called to possible presence in city of Red Nash touring car stolen and used by notorious Barton brothers, desperate Oklahoma outlaws. All police officers cautioned to memorize license plate numbers and model a car. Soon.
What's that? Studying to get the reward for the Barton brothers, Mackey?
Well, I'd sure like to see those boys run out of Phoenix if they're really here.
They don't mean to say they're around here.
Well, they're usually right. Say, those Bartons, they're a mean pair of coyotes, I guess. Red Nash touring car, huh?
How about that reward, Mackey? Send the kids to college, huh?
Well, sure, if they have any kids. Well, I gotta get going. Got a late beat this morning, and believe me, it's pretty dark and chilly on those streets at 1 a.m.
That news around this police station?
No, I guess not.
Well, go on, fellas. Go on.
There's a cop, kid.
Well, I can't help it. This car won't run without gas. Getting low.
Yeah, but if we stop at the filling station, there'll be trouble.
Is there a law against buying a quart of gas?
All right. Pull up, we'll find out. Hey, John Law's looking our way, all right?
I'd like to take that funny expression off his pan.
Maybe he's trying to spot us. Set a car. Maybe I'll take a shot at him.
Hey, hold it.
Huh?
You might miss. He's too far off.
It won't be much longer. He's walking this way.
Well, he don't know us. Remember, it's late. He probably wants to borrow a light.
I don't think so.
Hey, you in the car.
Yeah? What do you want?
Get out here. I want to take a look at you.
All right.
You too.
All right. Don't rush me.
That's a stolen car you guys are driving.
What makes you think so?
I'm not going to argue about it. I'm telling you. Hold out your hand.
What for?
You'll find out. Come on now.
All right. I won't make no trouble.
Wally, quick! Wally, quick in the handcuffs.
Yeah.
Oh. I got him. Cover the car. Stand where you are. Hands over our foot. Right again, Wally. He's still on his feet. Yeah. All right, come on, kid. You drive. Step on the gas. Hey, hey, that cop has picked up his gun again. Hey, hit the windshield, too. Get going, for God's sake, or he'll kill us. What's the matter with this car? He's got the tires. So we'll run as far as we can and then duck out on foot. Okay, grab that rifle and hold tight. Yeah. Half the town will be out by now. Shooter, please, why couldn't that cop stay down?
Gentlemen, do you realize that from the standpoint of medical science, this police officer, Mackey, has absolutely no reason to be alive?
As bad as that, Doctor.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Carver. His hanging on to consciousness is the most astonishing exhibition of stamina I've ever encountered.
We hate like the devil to bother him at all, Doctor, but we've got to get the man who put him here.
Now, don't worry yourself about that, Mr. Waters. The minute Mackey feels that he's completed identification of his assailants, he let go like that. And a merciful thing, too. His body is a mass of major wounds.
Well, you know, Officer Mackey spoke of having seen photographs of the two men on a long, narrow cardboard circular. We think he's referring to the handbill we issue to all police departments. And I have a copy of it here. We'd like to show it to him. You think it'd be possible?
All right, Doctor.
Well, we'd better hurry this way, gentlemen.
Oh, all right. Well, Mackey.
Hello, Mr. Carver.
Hello, man.
Hello. Waters. Got a picture for me?
Yes, Mackey, a couple of them.
Want me to look at them now?
If you will.
No, just take it easy. Here, I'll hold it for you.
What did he say?
Dark. Too dark. Can't see.
You put up the shades, Will.
Yes, sir.
I'll be right, Mackey. Is this your long cardboard circular?
I guess. steel is better than I can see it.
There, see, Doc? Now you can see what Mr. Carver brought.
This is the man that did the shooting.
Floyd Barton.
This other fellow was with him and drove the...
Any more now, Mackie. Good luck.
I remind you...
What did he say?
Never mind. This way, Bobby.
Terrible, wasn't it?
Yes. He's a brave fellow.
Oh, Mr. Carver.
Yes, orderly?
There's a telephone message from you from Marshal Fraser out of Tempe. He said he can go right out. It's something important.
Well, if it's important, he'll have to go. Let's see, Tempe's just... Well, he's just a few miles out of town. Let's open our car, Waters. See what's up. Special Agent Carver? That's right. And this is Agent Waters.
How do you do?
How are you? I'm Marshal Fraser of Tempe. Sit down, gentlemen.
Thank you.
This Mexican has something I want you to hear. Go ahead, Louis.
Si, senor. Listen to me. I have heard about men who shoot policemen last night in Phoenix.
A broadcast to general alarm, Carver.
I see.
Go on. Now, me. I am poor sheep herder. Got him out to a dam, no? This morning, when I go on Tempe Butte for my sheep, I go by place where light is burned all day, all night. You sabe?
No, I don't. He means the eternal light. The war memorial out on Tempe Butte.
Oh.
It's up on the cliff and you can see it for miles.
And while I go that way for sheep, I see two men. Two Americanos, senores.
What do they look like?
Oh, I don't get so close for that. But I see one thing. They have rifle with them. And they move around like they're afraid for something.
That sounds suspicious, all right, Carver. We better look into it. Fraser, how do you get up to this Tempe Butte?
Well, there's three trails.
Three trails, eh? Well, in that case, we'll have to split and each take a trail. Now, there's no time to lose. If Waters or I run to the men, we'll grab them and fire in the air for you to come and take them into custody. If you get to them first, you signal and we'll come back and back you up. Is that agreeable?
Yeah. Yes, that sounds all right. Ready, gentlemen?
You bet. Let's get started.
This one steep trail, Senor Fraser.
Yeah, that's right, Louis. This is the steepest trail up Tempe Butte, but it's the quickest.
Look you, Senor. I am only poor dumb Mexicano, but I would not like to fall down this cliff.
No, neither would I, Louis. But we're almost to the top. Oh,
gracias a Dios, Senor. I am only poor dumb...
Be quiet.
Something?
Up ahead there, standing by the edge of the butte.
Two hombres. The ones I see this morning. Look. See the rifle?
Yeah. And pistols, too.
Shall I go for the other one, Senor Fraser?
No time, Louis. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to draw down on them cold with my rifle. And the first man that moves is a goner. Look out for stampedes, Louis. You men over there! Hands up!
What's that?
Don't raise that rifle, mister, or I'll drop you cold.
What is it, the law?
Marshal of Tempe, Arizona, kid Barton.
My name ain't Barton.
Man, I've studied that government picture of you till I'd know you in the dark. You can drop that rifle. Drop it.
Oh, all right.
Now, Louis, pull the guns out of their belts and throw them on the ground.
Si, senor.
And now you can kick that artillery right over the cliff.
Si.
How'd you boys like to take that little drop?
Hey, now, wait a minute, mister. Listen, we've surrendered, ain't we?
Hey, hello there. You come?
Yes, Mr. Carver. Right over here.
Come on, boys. Hurry. I'll
be right with you.
Say, these are the boys, all right. The notorious Barton brothers.
Marshal Fraser, congratulations. We've wanted these men for a long time.
Well, here they are, Mr. Carver.
I thought that was a mighty long trail you set me on. Honestly, now, didn't you take a shortcut up the butte?
Well, yeah. You see, after what they'd done to Flynn Mackey in Phoenix last night, I made a sort of promise that I'd capture these fellas myself, if I could.
Oh.
Well... No use to stay around here looking at scenery. Get moving down the trail, boy. March.
Bureau of Investigation Agents present facts to state authorities in Oklahoma, Texas, Montana, and Colorado. Floyd Barton, convicted of murder of Phoenix policeman and hanged. Kit Barton, convicted of murder of deputy sheriff and sentenced to life imprisonment. Case number 265190 closed. Assignment completed. The long arm of the federal law reaches everywhere. Crime does not pay.
That, ladies and gentlemen, definitely proves again that cold steel is no match for brains. The Barton brothers tried to blaze a trail across the country with bullets, but their mad career came to an abrupt end. Next Tuesday night, we'll enact another case from the United States government files in Washington, D.C. And now, back to the business of dancing. Here's Anson Weeks, that skilled weaver of dance patterns whose reputation as a music maker has followed him all the way from sunny California to New York town. He's raising his baton now, so let's give him his cue. On with the dancing, Anson. Okay, America.
And now, everybody, swing their partners to After You Who from Gay Divorce, then a medley of You're an Old Smoothie from Take a Chance, and Louisiana Hayride from Flying Colors.
Thank you.
magic carpet is on its way. Okay, New York.
Thanks, Anson. That's another grand load of tunes. We'll call on you again in just a minute. Here's an interesting item about one of America's crack trains, the George Washington of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad, the only completely air-conditioned train in the world. To add a little touch of hospitality, the dining car steward always passes a silver chest of Lucky Strike cigarettes, offering every diner the enjoyment of a fine cigarette at the conclusion of his or her meal. How well the management knows that travelers like to enjoy the best of smooth, mild, even-burning cigarettes. And by serving Lucky's, the fine linen napery of the George Washington's dining car is protected as well. For you'll notice that Lucky Strike always burns with a firm white ash that resists the tendency to flake and drop. That, my friends, is because every Lucky is filled, full weight, with long silken strands of the finest, purest, most expensive tobaccos. And you can be sure that these choice tobaccos are mellow, mild, and delicious because they're toasted. That's why smokers who know what's what are so universally in favor of Lucky's. Especially so today when your dealer offers you Lucky's at two packages for 25 cents. And now about Thursday night. Of course, you know that's the night when Jack Pearl struts up to the microphone with his friend Charlie and relates his adventures as the Baron Munchausen. Well, between the intervals of laughter on that program, Abe Lyman and his orchestra will set the nation dancing. But tonight, Anson Weeks is with us, and his boys from the Hotel St. Regis are gathered around him, so let them play. On with the dance, Anson Weeks. Okay, America!
Everybody out on the dance floor as we play Hustling and Bustling for Baby, and I guess I'll have to change my plans.
Thank you.
We're off on that short and speedy hop. Okay, New York. Thus, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of another lucky strike hour. Don't forget, Thursday night is last night. Jack Pearl, the Baron Munchausen, will be there, and so will Abe Lyman and his orchestra. Until Thursday, then, good night.
Now 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. This is the National Broadcasting Company. The program continues in just a moment.